I feel like God is just moving in a new, fresh wave, especially in worship. Do you sense what I'm talking about? And I want to continue to encourage you in worship not to waste it, if I could use that word. You know, surfers, they have to wait for the perfect wave. And it's their choice if they're going to stand up and actually ride that wave, or if they're going to wait for something better, or maybe they're going to tell themselves, oh, I don't feel like I'm ready, or I don't feel like I can do that, right? Talk themselves out of it and then waste their time, right? So that's my encouragement to you is ride the wave. Don't waste it. The Holy Spirit wave. You know, moves of God, I've been through many of them in my life, but those times where they're, you know, not happening in big ways, I miss those. Those are the times of reflection. And those are the times where you cry out and ask him to move, right? So when he starts to move, jump on it. Don't, right? Because he's like, he sends a wave. He's like, that was for you, you know? Am I too loud? Okay, good. Hey, wanted to make an announcement also, and I just want to release the kids first. But David, who has been our treasurer for the last couple of years, has formally stepped down out of the treasurer position. Thank you, David. Can we give him a hand, please? We do appreciate it's not been an easy role, and you've just grabbed it and wrestled it like an alligator, and we appreciate it so much. And then the board got together and voted, and Scott Burrows was actually suggested by David to come in. And so David's going to stay involved in finances, and he's going to sort of bridge that gap, and they're going to work together now. So now we'll actually have two people. Scott will be the treasurer, and then we have the resident expert, if you will, working together. If you have questions about finances, you can ask Dave or you could ask Scott. You may go to Scott first is my suggestion, and that way if it's something that he needs to get down to the nitty-gritties, David's going to be more in the nitty-gritties, where he's going to be more on the high-level strategic, where is the church spending its money, what are we giving to, percentages, things like that. Make sense? With that being said, we also, as a leadership team, felt like we were not perhaps doing enough to communicate specifically on the where do you go when you want to talk to someone about, and like that feeling that, you know, maybe you just don't know where to start. And we present this information usually at a newcomers meeting, but not everybody's gone. And some of us, you know, things change and details change, and maybe it's been a few years. So on the tables, both out there, you'll see some all over there on the back, but you'll see a paper looks like this. It's basically a front and back side. One is who are the church leaders, elders and deacons, just in case you don't know, advisors. And then below that is contacts for weekly ministries. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. And then below that, you know, so you'll see like weekly men's, weekly children's, greeting. How do I get involved in those things? And then on the very back side, which I have two papers, but context of all the other ministries. Maybe they're not weekly, but there's something, right? If you can't find an answer to a contact, feel free to talk to me, for goodness sakes. Some of you almost feel bad bothering me, and it's like, hey, this is what I do. And I also say to you, you know, most of the time when people come, I'm so sorry to have to do that. I was like, church and Jesus are my favorite two subjects. So you're making me talk about my favorite things. It's okay, right? Yeah. Yeah, do you mind if we turn it down just a little bit more? Because it just, I feel, yeah, wait till I start shouting. It's going to just like. it's funny. So is that all of the updates? It is. It's all of them. Thank you, God. Lord, I just ask that you speak to us. We've asked several times today, but I want to formally ask one more time, God. My heart is open. I pray that every person here can say the same, Lord. Our heart is open. Our hands are outstretched. Throw us the ball. Give us the word that will not return void, that will change our life. Make us more Christ-like, less like us, more like you. Change our attitude. Change our hopes, change our dreams, change our disappointments, change our communication. Lord, reconcile relationships. Draw the hearts of the Father to their parents. Turn our heart toward widows and orphans. Turn our hearts toward the lost. Lord, whatever you're saying today, we're open and we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about the courage to ask the Lord, the Psalms 139 prayer, to search me and to know me and to see if there's anything within you that offends, and then lead me, hello, in the way everlasting, right? We said that prayer can be a little intimidating if you don't know who your God is. But the moment you truly resolve yourself that he is altogether good and that he's a shepherd and a father, you can pray that prayer knowing, heck yeah, it's going to open up a Pandora's box that you did not expect, where he's going to show you things on the inside so he can begin to address those things. But he doesn't do it to be rude. He doesn't do it to be critical or mean. And I believe the one thing that this verse shows me is he's doing it by invitation. So he's not pushing, right? He's not beating the door down to get into your life and point at stuff. He's a gentleman as well, right? Which is so critical that we align our heart with David's here and say, God, search me, know me. Like, what's in here that you don't like? Is there anything? Do you want me to move the couch over this direction? Do you hate that photo on the wall? Do you want me to change that? Right? You don't like the color? I'll repaint the walls, right? Open the closets. Do whatever you want to do in my life. Search me, know me, point out anything that's offensive to you, and then lead me. I surrender my control, right? Cool. Well, part of that request is going to be that the Lord is going to show us things. And I really felt like he was saying this week, and I don't love this topic, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with a smile. The way we relate to each other at times is a reflection of what he wants to do next in us, right? Unfortunately, I think in church, especially, you know, the American lifestyle is you invited Jesus Christ to be your personal savior, which means everybody gets to butt out. Do you know what I mean? And we don't really like to open up our life to others. We feel judged. Why? Because sometimes church people are judgy, right? Or we feel like we're not on the in crowd, the clique, if you will. Why? Because church is sometimes cliquey, right? No? Okay. Or right? I mean, just like there's so many of these examples I could give, right? And the way we relate to other people is a reflection of how God on the throne wants to, you know, like do a work because he's a father, right? And when my kids are fighting with each other, it just like, it drives me batty. I want my kids to love each other. Like, because I love you and I love you and I want you both to love each other like I love you. Because I want the best for you and I want the best for you. And you, right? And so you just want that. And that's what God is doing in heaven. He's like, and I love you and I love you and I want you two to love each other because I want the best for both of you, right? Wow, sounds like the kids are having some fun out there. So the 2 weeks ago, we studied 2 Timothy where we talked about how we are vessels of honor. Remember that? Actually, I think it's a slide. Yes, 2 Timothy. We don't have it. I'm going to have to fire the guy who built that slide. 2 Timothy 2:21. We read this 2 weeks ago. If you keep yourself pure, man, you're fast. Look at you. I will never do a draw against you, man. Cold hand Ethan. Nobody drives a mouse like him. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil or vessel for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work, right? And so I'm a vessel of honor. Are you a vessel of honor? Yeah. Right? You are. And you are, right? You are. That means we are all vessels of honor as we're surrendering and submitting to the process of holiness in our life. And therefore, I have to, and you have to, acknowledge and honor the vessel, right? So we are going to be vessels of honors, but we have to learn how to honor the vessels. Does that make sense? So I reversed the title on you, if we want to go back to the slides. We are going to honor the vessels around us, okay? Live in honor. Well, what does that look like? Well, let's talk about it, okay? But I am absolutely convinced that in our culture today, we have lost the art of honor. Right? Who's the winner of life, typically speaking? It's the person with the loudest mouth. the person who can point out the most faults, the person who can trump the other person with an argument, right? Sometimes it has to do with how many likes you get. It's all this superficial junk. It has nothing to do with honor, right? Okay. And then there's the problem of sin. And when you see sin in someone's life, and you know, how do you honor them when you're just, you know, you're so thrown off track by the sin that you saw? And I want to just call them out, but at the same time, I want to honor them. It's a struggle, right? And then if they don't honor you, you're like, well, I don't want to honor them. But Jesus didn't say treat them like they treated you. Because if he did, nothing on this earth would ever get done. Right? Jesus was one. Here, we can scoot over this trash bag. I don't even know what that is. Oh, closer, Nora. You good? You can scoot over if you need room. Okay. Well, it's an Allison sandwich. Where was I? Oh, nothing would get done. Jesus was the only one who interrupted a cycle by saying, everybody, all y'all are treating me wrong. I'm just going to go ahead and sacrifice myself for you, and I'm going to treat you better than you ever deserved. Right? He interrupted the cycle. The rest of us, we're always drawn to just dishonor because we were dishonored. Right? To be holy is to be set apart for the Lord, and to worship alongside, to work alongside a holy believer means that they are set apart to the Lord as well. And so maybe they're not set apart in the same ways. And I know that this bothers people because if a certain thing in your life really is like a hard no for you, and then you see another believer do it, you just like, doesn't it just like, just, yeah? I've watched it do that to people. They're like, they're just so thrown off. I can't believe that person can tolerate and flirt around with that in their life. And it's like, it's going to kill them. It's going to destroy them, right? And I simply must tell them. And I'm always telling you guys, we need to be an open people, ready for each other to speak into and correct each other, right? But at the same time, there has got to be honor in that. We have to allow people to have their dignity to rise into the holiness of God. And frankly, they are God's servant, not yours, and so you don't get to control them. You can be bothered by stuff, and that's okay, right? And you can pray for them, and you can encourage them. And at times when the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm going to take the chain off a little bit, just don't kill them, you can speak, right? And I always say, after prayer and fasting, speak. That way you get to examine and make sure your heart isn't just stepping into the wrong lane, because we can present a good concept, but with a really wrong heart. We can have pride. We can have accusation. We can have judgment. We can, right? And that doesn't help the person, even though we say the words, I love you, and so I want to tell you this about your life. It's like, really, the reality is we just want to be right. Okay? You hear in the balance? It's so cool because the Lord always gives us like this highway with lanes, and you can kind of go anywhere you want to in the lane and you can still be okay. You know what I mean? I have seen so many awesome moves of God in my life that were ended because people's attitudes got in the way. People's brokenness split each other, broke into factions. There were arguments. There were groups that didn't hang out. They were just they were disgusted with each other. It's just like you just watch all of that begin to happen. And the thing that you love and you look forward to, the I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord, becomes a, well, I really am not that glad anymore. Know what I mean? Has anybody ever experienced that? Just me and Tom. Okay, and Tim. And here's a challenge I feel from the Holy Spirit is be the person that someone else can say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Be the person where they, I want to actually go see Jesus and I want to go see Sue, right? Be that person. And my gosh, we're going to talk about faults and stuff in a minute here, but it's all about our attitude and our approach to this thing, right? And you know that when the Ark of the Covenant was actually carried by on poles by priests, like the weight of the presence of God was felt on their shoulders as they carried it. It was not meant to be put on a cart and driven, right? It was meant to be carried, right? And that's us. Like, we are carrying the weight of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in this church. And we have to understand the responsibility. It's not someone else's. I can just put it on a cart and depend on my worship team to dial up the 4 or 5 perfect songs. And then the speaker's going to dial up the perfect sermon. And then, you know what I mean? Children's church is going to take care of my kids, so I don't have to. Right? Now just add a Starbucks coffee in the back and we're good. It's the me church, right? And it's all about me, Jesus. We have to understand the weight of what we're carrying. And there's these times where we don't want to have a good attitude toward people. And yet the weight is on our shoulders. It's on yours. It's on mine to carry this thing, you know? Genesis 9, we're talking about Noah, okay? Don't read ahead, please. I know everybody. There you go. Yeah, focus on that refining fire in your life. You feeling hot yet? So Noah was a prophet, first of all. He actually spoke back and forth to the Lord. That makes him a prophet, okay? He predicted weather 100 years out. Our weather guys can't even do 2 days correctly. Yeah. He predicted something would fall from the sky when it had never happened before, right? He was able to gather enough food to take care of animals all on a boat for an undetermined amount of time, and they survived, right? I'd say this dude's pretty prophetic. Okay. He was called by God twice the most pure man on the planet. In fact, in one of those times, he was said he was the only pure one on the planet. Man, hear God say that. What else? He was faithful. I mean, it took him 100 years to build the ark. He's faithful. He was entrusted to save all humanity and all animals, and he did a good job, right? So I needed to point out those character traits because now we're going to point out a character flaw. And depending on where you're sitting, this could be like a big earth shaker to you, or you could be like, but he's a prophet and he loved the Lord and he was faithful and I'm sitting here today because he was obedient, right? Or we could just read this. So if we could now go to the Genesis 9. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground and he planted a vineyard. One day he drank some wine that he'd made and he became drunk and he laid naked inside his tent. Ham, that's not pork, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and he went outside and he told his brothers, he talked about it. Okay? Wait a minute, Daryl, we're not supposed to get drunk. I'm not saying this is justification to go get drunk. Okay? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, like, sometimes good people make mistakes, right? Okay. Verse 23, then Shem and Japheth, the other two brothers, took a robe, held it over their shoulders, and backed into the tent to cover their father. Can you say cover, please? Cover. As they did this, they looked the other way so they would not see him naked. Do you see two different heart attitudes? Right? Now, which two people out of the three were going to be qualified to have a conversation with Dad in the morning? The two that covered, they showed through their love and their devotion that it's okay to speak, right? And this is huge, guys, and this is not like, let's look at our lead. This is all of us. This is us doing family together. We see something, we don't love it, but how do we cover them? How do we really cover them and earn the place to speak into the brokenness and see healing and not just start a fire? They did, and they honored him with their silence. In this case, right? Ham's sin was looking, laughing, and talking, right? So that word where it says Ham told, that word is nagad in the Hebrew, and it means a bold proclamation, to manifest, to announce, to expose. And we, Christians, I mean, we look forward to bringing things into the light, right? As long as it's not our own. We love to bring stuff into the light. And we know that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, right? So Why wouldn't we want to bring something into the light? Well, it's okay to bring stuff into the light. It's okay. But it's also okay to cover and challenge and love and walk with that person through something, right? You guys liking this? All right. They didn't turn their back on his mistake. When they walked in, like they're walking with the robe over their shoulders, they're not just turning their back on the sin and saying, it's not happening, la, 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 right? They're actually turning to honor him, and they're turning from the shame of the act. Now, some of us, it's like, well, I don't drink, so I'm good here. Well, great, fill in your own. Maybe they walked in and Noah was watching dirty stuff on TV, right? Maybe he was on Amazon and he just blew all that they had shopping. Maybe he was eating too much. Nobody talks about that in church, sorry. Maybe he was judging someone. Maybe he was talking with pride. Maybe he was formulating a lie. You know what I'm talking, right? I'm trying to spell out that everybody's weak and everybody's doing something different, and it's so easy when you don't like, in this case, you know, I don't like to drink and I don't like to sleep naked, so he's a jerk, right? It's easy to nod in shame towards someone when it's not your struggle, right? And then when your struggle comes up, it's like, cover me, please. Okay, thank you. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. And I didn't expect an applause there either. Most important of all, can you say most important? That means it's pretty dang important, right? Continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers, there's that word again, a multitude of sins. Whose love? Well, Jesus' love covered all my sins, yes. Now Jesus is in you and his blood is flowing through your veins, right? Spiritually speaking. So what does your life do? It covers, through the love of God, other people's multitude of sins. Man, I feel like a multitude comes out of my mouth, stuff that shouldn't, all the time, you know, because I just like to be funny. I love to joke, and then it's like, well, I can't put that one back. I'm covered? Thank you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm excused. It doesn't mean I'm excused. It means I'm covered, and I appreciate that. And you can look at me, and you can shake, and no, we're not going to do that right now. Okay, right? Yeah, throw the blanket on, walk backwards. Keep reading, please. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Well, I only do that with the people I like. God has given each of you a gift from a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. This is still one conversation here. This is not like Proverbs where you get like a bunch of unrelated things all mashed together. Right? It's not a club sandwich. It's one thing. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. So, sometimes we have to call out stuff in each other's lives, right? How would God do it? How did God do it to you? Right? Just really read this like it's all one big conversation. You know, we're talking about showing deep love, covering sin, sharing our home with people, right? Inviting them in, using these gifts that God has given us. Let us speak as though God were speaking through us. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. I'm not only calling out a sin, I'm willing to dive in with you. Can I help you? You know what I mean? Can I be there with you? Can I pray with you? Can I invest into you? Can I help you? Can I bring someone else in who can help you? Right? You feeling where Peter's going with this? Do it with all your strength, not just half-hearted. Call me if you need something. Gosh, I hope he doesn't call. Right? Okay, buddy. It'll take me a while to gather, but I'm going to do it with all my strength. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Right? And that's what we want. We want everything we do to bring him glory. So we're called to coach, to cover each other's faults, not to excuse or to accommodate those sins. We're called to cheerfully share of our lives. We're called to use our gifts to serve people. We honor those who use their gifts to serve us. That's important. That's a question for you and nobody else right this second. So Jesus gets to be your personal savior for one more minute. Are you adequately honoring the people who sow into your life? And I'm not just asking like me, because take me out of it for a minute. But put me in there, but then take me out. But there are people that are sowing into you, right? There are people who are sowing into your children right now in that other room. Right? There are people that are sowing into you during the week in your life group. There are people you probably don't even know serving you just to make sure that this place works. Or maybe when we go out on an event or an evangelism, there are people who have sown and gathered and you know, spent nights just preparing and planning, and right? Are we honoring them for the gift that they've placed into us, or are we just really quick to say, they're not my clique, I don't like them very much, and they've got issues? Right? God, let us be a people of honor, huh? I have wrestled whether I would share the punchline to this story, but I guess I will. Let's see what happens. All right, Genesis 9:24, Noah wakes up from his stupor, and he learned what Ham, his youngest son, had done. And then he cursed Canaan, the son of Ham. Can you believe it? Now, this is not a voodoo curse, okay? I have to be very clear. This is not a hex, okay? We're talking about a prophet of the Lord who prophesied curse that happened as a result of sin. What other prophets do you know that have spoken curses because of sin? All of them. All of them. Every book that has a prophet speaking, they always pronounce a blessing, and then they pronounce a curse on those that say no to the flow of the Holy Spirit and the desire of God, right? Yeah, read. Yeah, exactly. You're about to preach my sermon here, so be careful. You see, generations can be affected by that decision, right? Because evil perpetrates itself and teaches itself down the line, right? You know, at that school board meeting, I said, you know, children learn how to be bullies by watching their parents, and we have done a great job of teaching our children tonight how to bully, right? So it's not just habits, it's attitude and action, right? Okay, so he pronounced a curse, and he said, may Canaan be cursed, may he be the lowest of servants of his to his relatives. And then he turns around and he blessed the other two brothers. So let's talk about this for a second here. Ham's descendant was Canaan, right? And so Canaan, the land of Canaan, do you guys remember what that land is? It's the promised land. It's a little land of milk and honey. Problem is, for new renters to come in, someone had to be evicted. The people who were evicted were the descendants of Ham, Canaan's line, okay? May he be the lowest of servants to his relatives. You know, what happened is the people of Canaan settled in. There was this inherent lack of honor, right? They didn't care about the Lord, first of all, and so that began to just tear all of their lives apart. Sinfully speaking, they began to do things that were simple, like abusing people, taking advantage of people, profiting from like widows and orphans and enslaving people, right? All the way to sacrificing their babies to the god Moloch, Baal, right? Like, there's a wide range of sin here that all kind of spurned out of this lack of regard for what God was doing, God's people, and it spread, and it affected generations, okay? We're talking many generations past, right? I'm not trying to scare you into honor. You know that phrase, beatings will continue till morale improves. I'm not trying to do that here. I'm just trying to show you like what can happen as like what happens as children watch us dishonor people who sow into our life, and then what do they begin to say to people who sow into their life? And then when that becomes habit three or four generations down and people aren't listening to people who are sowing into their life, what are they listening to? And when they're listening to those wrong sources and they've totally shut out the right sources, what kinds of habits and curses and junk bondages just begin to form, right? So we can actually cut this process short the day we just flip our honor back on its head and put it in right standing, right? Yeah, I'm going. Some of the people of Canaan literally became servants to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. Like literally, if you think about the Gibeonites, you know, they had to serve as eternal slaves to the Israelites. They were brought into cutting wood and, you know, those kind of menial tasks for the rest of their life and for generations. You know what I mean? Are you saying if I change my honor, I can change the... Actually, I am, you know. God is very serious about the divisions we can cause. And we actually have a scripture in Titus where 3, 10, and 11, Titus said, or Paul said, if people are causing division among you, give a first and a second warning, which means love them, please. Give them a chance. Don't cut them off. But after that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sin condemns them. You don't have to. Right, but what I'm getting at is less about the practice of cutting people off, but more about the heart that God is saying, it bothers me so badly that people would come in to my house and my family and just start ripping it apart and causing division. I want you to see that. Like, division is not cool. Right? I would say the thing, and you can learn this about me. I mean, if you want to kill me, like, if you really want to assassinate me, the way to do it is to come in and start causing division among us. Truly. Like, the last time that happened, I was like, I had anxiety. I thought I was dying. I kid you not. I would look up at my arm. I would feel my heart pounding in my chest to the point I thought I might be on the edge of a heart attack. As I understand, it must be anxiety or something. But I could see veins standing up all the way into my fingers, pulsating. And I would, am I coming home? I mean, what's going on? And you know what? I was actually really excited too. Because the division that I was being sown was just breaking my heart. And I have to sit here and steward well the house of God for you, and you do too for others, right? And so I'm asking you with all my heart, with tears and a little bit of trembling, please steward well the house of God and the people of God and love them. That doesn't mean excuse them, but man, you got to jump in the pit with them and help them. Don't just accuse and run. Philippians 4, 2 through 5, you know, we see another example of Paul when he said, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. We never find out what that disagreement is. But he said, settle it. And I ask you, my true partner, to help those two women. You see that? Help them. Because they worked hard in telling others the good news. These two are evangelist women. They're tearing through the town of Philippi with the good news, but then they bumped into each other with a disagreement of some kind. And bam, it just forced its way through division. And they worked along with Clement, the rest of my coworkers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I just, you know, we always sing the song, you know, as even from little kids, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do you know where that comes from? The context of people fighting. We like to rip it and apply it, but we don't understand. The rest of it belongs on a cat poster too. Settle your disagreement, right? Settle your disagreement. And it's funny, I'm laughing, this is useless, but Euodia actually translates success and Syntyche actually translates accident. And so I can see why they got along like oil and water. You know, success means accident. A person who's been called accident all their life. Bless your heart. Right? I mean... I was told once that I was a surprise, right? But at least my parents didn't call me, hey, accident, right? No, yeah, Daryl means dear one, beloved one, right? So they call me loved, and that's cool, right? But not everybody wakes up with that identity on their life, right? Sometimes you walk in here with the, I'm an accident, I'm a failure, I'm a undesirable, I'm right, I'm broken, and you just beat into someone who feels successful, like they have all their stuff in a row and they got their lives perfect and their starter home was $1 million, and you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't hang out with them and they don't hang out with me, and look at the way they think themselves, so cool. And if they ever walked a mile in my shoes, they'd be an addict, right? Okay, and so Paul is like, hey, settle this. You two are in the Lamb's Book of Life now. Can we find some agreement at least on that point? Like when we're all dead and we all the toys go back in the box, we're all going to be in heaven together. New name. We have a new identity now. But then what he said to the body is help them. Help them settle it, okay? And he didn't even determine how to settle it. He's going to let them figure it out. There's dignity in that, isn't there? He didn't walk in and say, oh, I'm the judge now, you two. Come on, present your cases, and you're too dumb to figure it out, so I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to call out the liar. He didn't even judge. He didn't even say who's wrong. He didn't care. The point was settle it, figure it out, and help them. Church, help them, right? Okay. Some of you, it won't be a church thing. Some of you, it's a family thing, where siblings within your family are arguing and fighting and you feel like you're in the middle and you love them both. And what are you supposed to do? Help them settle it. Cover their sin and help them. Find the dignity, find the goodness, and push them in the direction of others acknowledging that. You know what I mean? You didn't like that? Okay. Find your joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Find your joy in that. We have what 1 Corinthians calls a ministry of reconciliation. We good? I feel like you're tuning out. I'm losing you. I went too long. Your little internal clock said. Ah. No, because in your heart, it's already 1:30, you know? I'm good. I've got a lot of other stuff. I'm good. Do you sense or do you feel like God has placed, and if the answer is no, then let's ask him too, but has God placed people on your heart where you're like, I haven't shown the honor I need to, and I just need to change the core of how I look at them so that the expression can change? Some of us, we may need to go call that person, or if you can, go see if you can visit them or whatever. But I've had to do this in my life where I actually had to tell someone that I had dishonored them and I now honor them. And I told them how, and I'm just leaving the details, okay? But I honor them for the XYZ investment they made into my life. And when that person tried to come back and say, and you know, I was a little hard too, and I had my contribution into that. I said, I can't let you continue that conversation right now. Hey, well, why? Because I want to tell you what was going on in my heart. And I said, well, then my decision to honor you is somehow interconnected with your response back to me, and that's not honor. That's reciprocation. So I need you to just save that for a different day and let me honor you now without any reason from you to make me do it. And that person greatly appreciated, and like that relationship has changed, like, completely. And I'll be honest, in my case, the story of the dishonor was only in here. As far as I know, it was never spoken out into the world, right? It was the way I viewed, and therefore it drove some of my lack of attentiveness into things that were important to them because, you know, I dishonored it. That make sense? I'm being completely vulnerable and yuck in front of you, so please just cover me. All right. The kids are screaming. I better move us along. Yeah. The worship team was like, hey, are we going to end with a song? I was like, I don't know how to go back into worship after we just talk about like relationships and stuff and doing, you know. So I'd rather not get lost and caught up in the music, okay? I'd rather we just do business with the Holy Spirit even right now. And if we could throw the prayer slide, thanks, man. Help me to see how others are set apart for you in ways that I cannot see. I want to appreciate them as you do. Help me to hug the cactus and honor those I may not normally feel drawn to or agree with. That's a phrase some of us elders have with each other. You're going to have to hug the cactus. Help me to cover faults, come alongside weaknesses, and to be a challenging cheerleader to my brothers and sisters. Do you catch the word cheerleader? Some of us are just like to be challenging. And then I need healing. I'm broken, and I tend to protect myself from people who trigger me. And that's whatever that response is your problem, but I wanted to bring it out there because sometimes before we can get to the place of honor, we have to get past triggers. Holy Spirit. So here we are, standing in your presence. Let your glory come. Lord, we need you to bring up the people. We need you to bring up the attitudes. We need you to bring up the judgment, the brokenness. We need you to bring it up and put it on your altar and refine it, God. Lord, we don't know what we don't know. It's hard to look into a mirror and see what you see in the heart. We may not even be fully aware. At times we've dishonored other brothers and it's just come out in our expression, in our face, or in our lack of response. God, who knows? It's only you know, the one who searches us to know us and to point out anything that's in us that is offensive and to lead us into everlasting life. God, we ask you to come and search us. We ask that you would come and with the grace of God, point out the things that we've done, Lord, in dishonor, and Lord, begin to flip that and turn that around. God, I ask that you cause us in those places where we have divested our heart from another to begin to invest in it again. I ask for opportunities, God, to meet with people we've dishonored and to share truthfully from the heart without any kind of return or reciprocation of that. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be happy, joyful, that we would bring you joy as you see us loving our brothers and sisters well. Holy Spirit, I pray for some of us, we see the glass half empty more than we should. And Lord, we see the deficiencies in the people that are investing into our life. And God, it's hard to recognize the good because we're just so turned off by what we don't like. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you begin to infuse our hearts with the freshness, that fresh fragrance of Jesus showing us the investment that is being made into us by others. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you not allow us to be the cause of the end of anything that you want to do because our attitude got in the way. Lord, the tongue is a fire and it can just set an entire field on fire. And Lord, so I'm asking you to help us to watch our mouth and the way we speak to others, the way we talk about others. Just really focus it in. Help us to surrender our tongues to the Holy Spirit, I pray. Leaving room for the Holy Spirit to speak. I will open up the mic for prayers. I ask that you not necessarily preach or give an announcement at this point, but if the Holy Spirit is sharing something or if you just feel like praying through something that could demonstrate and help the rest of the group, then please let me know. Oh, I thought I saw your hand up. Sorry. Nobody wants to pray this one, right? Yeah? Okay. Thank you.
Personal. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me to honor my family members more. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones I look at and I feel like they judge me or... I'm concerned about how they spend their money or what they eat or what they wear or, and I'm looking at all of these things instead of looking at them like they're your children. Thank you for this message today. Thank you, Father God. I needed to hear it so much. And I will honor those people who have sown into me, regardless of how I feel about tiny things that don't really matter. Thank you, God.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God, and your word says that Paul was telling the Ephesians that he implored them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. So, Father, I thank you that with all humility and gentleness that we would show patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Lord, I thank you that we would be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And, Father, I just praise you and thank you that when we do encounter those people that might just rub us the wrong way, Lord, or they are the cactus, Father, I ask you to just help us to love on them, Lord God, even if it's inconvenience for us, Lord, at that time or whenever, but we just ask you to continue to change our hearts, Lord God, and draw us closer to you as we draw closer to others that you place in our path. In Jesus' name.
I just have a picture in my heart, and I guess of hearts, and those hearts have wounds, and the Lord's just showing me like a picture of a heart, and we're like some have one, some have two, maybe there's three or four, but there's wounded hearts, and from the wounds, sometimes the enemy will come in and attach to those wounds and really start to build anger and unforgiveness and build these walls. But initially it just came from a wound that we weren't able to deal with and forgive. And so, Lord, I just ask you right now, Father, I lift up every person in this room and I lift up their hearts and I ask you to come down by your Spirit and heal the wounds that have been inflicted upon us in our hearts so that as we are healed, forgiveness can come and then we can bring that healing to another person and to the person that has wounded us, Father God. Lord, it just starts with us. And I just pour your healing balm on our hearts and on our spirits and in our emotions right now, Lord. And begin to heal. That forgiveness would permeate, Lord Jesus, and that your Spirit would come in and make us whole, because as we become whole, then we can reach out and start to bring that to another, Lord. Father God, I just ask you to come on by your Spirit now and heal us. And I pray as you do, Lord, that as we look upon that person that may have hurt us, those that have wounded us, those that we may still need to forgive, that you would let us see them through your eyes, Lord, from your heart, Lord, from your Spirit, from your perspective, because if we can see it through your perspective, then we can be healed, and then we can reach out and bring healing, Lord Jesus. So, Father, heal us that we may be able to get out there and bring that healing balm to another. Give us the ability to forgive or to be willing to forgive or to be willing to be willing to be willing, if need be, to forgive. Lord, give us the courage to look down deep within our hearts and our spirits to see really and truly what is it in us that needs to be healed. What is it, Lord? Because we can justify it away. But really and truly, it's what I've wanted to say for so long. It becomes the bait of Satan. It becomes the bait. He comes in and he starts to build up in us the anger that it's not really justified. Don't let us take the bait, Lord. Don't let us take the bait. Don't let us take the bait. Rise up and heal our hearts. Rise up and use us mightily, that not only can we go in and forgive others, but we can be that person that can come in and help to be the person to bring those people together that we don't, to bring people together that need healing, to bring others together that can come in, Lord. There's such a huge work you want to do in this. I can sense it. It's just powerful this morning. So do a work in us. Do a powerful work in us. So then we can go forth, Lord Jesus, and do a work for you. To an even bigger cause like the school board. And it gets bigger and bigger, right? Lord, just gets bigger and bigger. But it's got to start with a little. Then we can rise up. We can rise up in you, Jesus. Do a powerful work. We love you, Lord.
So this week, been going through what Daryl's been talking about, and the Lord really been pounding this scripture in my head for the last 3 days, and it's definitely relating to what's going on. So this is my prayer. It's Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any comfort sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, having the same mindset of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Well, God, you get to continue this conversation this week and into the future for as long as needed. So I ask that you allow the process of surrender to be quick and easy, God, if we don't want to drag our feet if something's important to you. So have your way. Have your way in our life, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You guys may be dismissed. Somebody go hug a cactus. You might be a cactus.